Welcome. This is Christopher Holmes, and this is the Zero Point Radio Show through BBS Radio. The date today is February the 16th, 2013. Oh, I hear a little bit of a buzzing in the background. I'd like to encourage listeners to view my website at www.zeropoint, spelled zeropoint.ca. And I have some of my own movies up there and different materials I've written on esoteric spiritual practice. And it was 6 years ago that I first came in contact with the deviancy of our governments in Canada and the U.S. and around the world. And since that time, in 2006, it's been a pretty eye-opening event seeing all that's being done around us and the terrible nature of what's befalling us. But anyway, I'm going to bring in today's co-host, Dee Nicholson from Toronto. Hi, Dee.
Hi, Christopher.
Dee, you had something you wanted to read an obituary that you'd come across.
We lost a real freedom fighter in this country last week on February 13th, active to the very last moments of his life, dropping off the planet while on the phone with other activists. Our dear friend Don Norden of Lumbee, B.C. has passed. We've lost a real fighter for our freedom there. Don was the founder of the Brown Bagger radio program on Co-op Radio in B.C. He was known around the world for fighting for justice, and he had a real sense of what people needed in their lives. And so, you know, it's with great sadness that I have to report to all of you. I mean, if you did not know of Don, you probably know somebody who did know Don. That's how well-known and well-loved and respected Don was. He will be buried this week or memorialized, I should say, in Lumbee, B.C. This week. And I wish that all of us could be there to say goodbye to a very fond patriot, a lover of Canada, a lover of freedom, Don Norden. Rest in peace.
What was his main issues, Dee? He ran the Brown Bag, you were saying, on...
He ran the Brown Bagger on Co-op Radio out of B.C., and, you know, any issue that impacted our freedom was an issue for Don. He was particularly interested in those assaults on our health and our health freedom. And his most recent activity was fighting smart meters. And boy, that man was a bulldog.
Wow.
He was a bulldog. We will miss him sadly.
Wow. How old was Don?
Don was in his 70s, and, you know, it's like he was the Energizer Bunny. He was just go, go, go all the time, never not active. You know, he inspired so many people, educated so many people, did so in a gentle and kind way, and there aren't that many people out there who had the knowledge that Don had and the ability to educate others. He was a phenomenal human being, and like I said, we are going to really miss him.
Wow.
So sad to lose him, but I hope he inspired a whole new generation of new Don Nordens out there who will take to the airwaves, who will take to the streets, who will write letters, who will stick the middle finger in the eye of the politicians.
Yeah, really.
Like Don did. We all need to do that now. So
yeah.
We're sad to lose him, but like I said, his work should be an inspiration to others. And, you know, you yourself have been on the issue that we're talking about today, Christopher. You have been very, very active for a number of years, and that is the chemtrail issue. And perhaps you might want to tell people, you know, what you've done, because you've produced little videos about chemtrails that were produced with your trip last year across the country, and also chemtrails around Pembroke, Ontario, and you know, places that you wouldn't expect chemtrails to be.
Yeah, you wouldn't expect them anywhere, but you're right. Before we begin, though, I did want to just mention, I forgot to mention this, that our archives are now available to the public, and we recommend this to our guests, that they know that they can send out an email to anyone in their mailing list and give the website of the Zero Point Show, and they, their friends or whoever can listen in to the show today. So
yeah,
we are trying to promote this show actively. In a way, in part, it's a Canadian truth movement, but I mean, applicable also to the States.
Yeah, truth wherever you find it.
Yeah, exactly. And, so people can send out this archive to people and get them to listen to the show, even afterwards, at any time.
It's a difficult time for people to sit down in front of their computers and, you know, listen for a couple of hours. It's a Saturday afternoon. We understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why we've made the archives available, and thank you, Christopher, for doing that. We have now got the ability to send out the link to all of our lists and to make these archives available, and there are many of them. There are many, many archives of shows that we've done over various topics for the last few years, and many of them are worth a listen now, you know, worth reviewing. So once you have that link, which is easy enough to find now, and easy enough to access, you can compile an amazing amount of information on just about any given topic. That we used to call them conspiracy theories. Now we call them event reports. People used to say to me, "You're such a conspiracy theorist, Dee," and I'd be going, "No, I'm an event analyst." And if you look at things and you realize that they are all within the realm of possibility, that's when the light bulb goes off.
Yeah.
That's when it goes on and wakes you up to what is actually possible. It, you know, so many people that we, you know, run into have difficulty getting the information that they have across to other people because people are in such a paradigm. Oh, our government wouldn't do that. Oh, there is no elite government. What are you talking about? And yet the proof is everywhere.
Yeah.
And the minute you click onto something that relates to you and your life and how you see things, that's when you can wake up. You can find it through any avenue you choose. You will. All these roads lead to Rome.
Yeah.
And in some cases, quite literally.
Yeah, you're right.
As we've seen this week with the Pope resigning, and now the Vatican is admitting they're putting him into permanent residence at the Vatican so nobody can get him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, there's indictments coming across the board for Pope Ratzinger.
Yeah.
All over the place.
From Kevin Nanette.
Well, not just
who
Kevin.
We've had. Yeah.
Not just Kevin. The Italian government is after the Vatican Bank now.
Oh, yeah,
and there's
really?
There's a huge scandal about the money. I'm going, wait a minute, this scandal didn't start here. What about the trillions of dollars worth of art that is stored in the catacombs underneath the Vatican? $3 trillion, it's estimated, in stolen art.
Goodness.
Through World War II.
Wow.
So, I mean, we're talking about massive crimes here.
We'll have to get back to that, try to get Kevin Nanette back on the show. He's been on the show two or three times at least.
Yes, he has. And it's coming up to be a real interesting time at the end of this month. It's going to be very interesting. So we're going to have to be nosing in on that for sure.
Okay.
And, you know, when we talk about things like that, they may seem disconnected, but they're not disconnected.
No.
You know, when you see that... That there is an elite, and that they are looking for world domination, and they largely have it already. And when you see all the connector points between this aspect of our lives and that aspect of our lives, chemtrails we're talking about today, absolutely critical that we speak about chemtrails. We're all subject to them all the way around the world and in ways that you would never imagine. And then on top of that, you look at Agenda 21 coming out of the UN. And then you come out and look at all of the dark side of a whole lot of stuff like world banking and the fraud of money and vaccines and pharma drugs that are just chemicals that they can jam into us to keep us sick, not well. You know, I mean, add it all up, people. Just add it all up.
Yeah.
It all goes to the same thing. Our population is being decimated. The world is being taken over. And one of the things that they're using most effectively in order to coordinate that is exactly what Afsana and Tony and Alex will be talking about with us momentarily.
Yeah. Okay, so, well, maybe I'll go back and just share a little bit of what I did last summer.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, it was in the early spring of last year that I developed two videos, one showing the chemtrail spraying on Parliament Hill in Ottawa. And that's available on my website. And it's called A Day in the Life of the Chemtrail Poisoning of the Citizens of Ottawa. It's some title like that. And it's a short 10-minute video. And then a second one I did, it relates to my hometown here in Kempville, Ontario. And it's about a half hour long. And I haven't been able to put it up on YouTube yet. And I'm still struggling with that a little bit. But anyway, I did these two chemtrail movies in August or April of last year. And then I drove across Canada giving out copies of my video to whoever I could get interested in it. And I traveled across from Ottawa to B.C. And in B.C., who did I meet at the 9/11 Truth Conference but two of our first guests today, Afsana and Tony Tasker. And I've invited them onto the show today. Afsana is responsible for the Vancouver Sky Watch and Canada Sky Watch. And both of these people are instrumental in promoting the Canadian-wide chemtrail conference, which is actually tomorrow. We have a third guest who will wait to introduce Alex, but he's in Toronto, and he's promoting the event in Toronto. So the first schedule, I think we've got two events going on in Canada. So we'll see what goes on tomorrow. But we will begin with Afsana and Tony Tasker in Vancouver. Hello, Afsana.
Yeah, how are you? I'm doing good. We just came back from handing out flyers on the street and posting up on the poles and everything just to push before tomorrow's big day.
Oh, yeah. How do you think you're doing? Do you have many people working with you to promote the event?
Yeah, I have a lot of people. I pulled quite a few from the 9/11 Truth Movement, our local truth movement, and a bunch of other people who had just heard because I put a call out in Craigslist, and I have a meetup group, meetup.com, Chemtrails Vancouver, and pulling people in, and we come in and we meet for breakfast every Sunday, and things just, take shape after you have a couple of meetings. Things take shape.
Yes, and I have to inform you, too, Afsana, that we have seen over the past weeks a great number of people. We all share our email lists with each other, and what you send to one goes out to many, and from there forward. So I have received from a number of sources promotion on that event. So if you were not aware of how well this event is being spread across the country, I can assure you it is well spread across the country.
Good to hear. Thank you. That's fantastic. And we'd like to make this a regular event because we have to show this a bunch of times. We're showing two movies and having some speakers until we hit critical mass, until it becomes impossible for people to ignore it, for the mainstream media to ignore it.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
I can't tell you how many people I have run into over the last few years with respect to chemtrails, I can't tell you how many people I have run into who have said, oh, no, those are contrails. And
yeah.
I can see a passenger jet going over, right? And there's this little contrail coming out the back, and it, from where we're standing on the ground, it looks like it's about 3 feet long.
Yeah.
And then it disappears within seconds because it's all water vapor. And then I say, now look over there. What do you see that's different from that? And then I start saying, and where are the flight plans? If these are passenger planes, where are they going?
And you can see that also when you look up on a clear day and there's no plane in the sky at all. And you're wondering, what happened to the passenger flights today? Why aren't they up there?
Well, they're pointing in the wrong direction. If they expect to land at any airport in or around Toronto, they're pointing in the wrong direction.
And same in Ottawa, too.
And why would they fly across the sky and then do a U-turn and come back? Where are they going? Do they have engine trouble? You know, is there a terrorist on board? What's going on that the plane would turn around and come back the same way?
Yeah.
So, Afsana, you were...
There was a video by an Italian fellow. It was a radio show, and somebody called in and said, listen, I was on a flight across Europe, a plane flight, and they told us in the broad daylight, middle of the day, to shut down our, the windows, right, so they couldn't see outside.
Wow.
So, you know, the implications, of, as he explains his tale, where, you know, it's not nighttime, but they're asking all the passengers make sure they close their windows, is that the pilots know this stuff. The stewardess know that we're being sprayed. There's a lot of people who are aware. Like, when do the criminal prosecutions start?
Yeah, well, I think that people are going to have to wise up with something that they can relate to, like I mentioned earlier. And, you know, one of the things that I find really funny is the look that goes across people's faces when I ask them, okay, so where's the flight plans? Because there aren't any. And in fact, what we've also found out, I don't know if you've heard of this came out of the States a little while ago. Somebody asked that question. I heard about it on Ed Griffin's site. And, of course, we all know Ed Griffin as one of the producers of What in the World Are They Spraying? And then the second movie, Why in the World Are They Spraying? And what this person was saying was, well, there are no flight plans. They had a near miss between Air Force jets and chemtrail planes, and these chemtrail planes did not have flight plans, and this is what was discovered when these two Air Force jets ran into this situation. This is what they discovered. There are no flight plans. That violates every aviation law in the world.
You mean something outside of the military itself, or the military didn't know what the right arm was doing, or the left arm
exactly.
didn't know what the right arm
they,
was
they,
doing?
They,
like, I'm under the impression that these chemtrail planes are from the military.
Yeah, well, this is what blew me away, is that you know, the military, we presume that they must be involved here, because who else would be doing it? But you know what? The CIA has plans. Homeland Security has planes. A lot of different entities have planes. And so consequently, we can't be sure. And because every government in the world is trying to shut people down and say, it's contrails. They're always saying it's contrails. You know, you ask any parliamentarian, you've seen the letters that come back when people inquire. That's
yeah.
what they always get, is this standard line. Oh, it's contrails. They're water vapor, and they come out of engines, and they freeze, and then they disappear. Yeah, right. Okay.
I mean, it seems that the Canadian, the spraying in Canada, I don't think is done by the Canadian military as much as I thought it was NASA or the U.S. military. I'm not really sure about that, but...
Whatever it is, they need the plug pulled, and they need it quick. Because I, you know, quite frankly, I don't care who goes to jail, but somebody needs to.
Yes, they do.
You know, somebody needs to go to jail for this, and somebody needs to realize that, you know, I mentioned Don Norden, his fight against smart meters. You have to also realize, and I'm not even sure that some of the chemtrail movement, anti-chemtrail movement, even is aware of the interaction between the smart grid and the chemtrails. But it's a very, very solid physical interaction where you have aluminum and heavy metals being breathed in coming out of these chemtrails, which alters the galvanic response, the electrical response in our bodies. And that makes us particularly susceptible to things like smart grids and RFID technology. And it makes for cancers, it makes for all kinds of things. So it's not like chemtrails are just an isolated part of a program. They are an integral part of a program to wipe out a large segment of the population. Yeah. And there's no question about it. When you have heavy metals in your body, you're going to react more negatively to anything that is in the electromagnetic frequencies. And if you will notice, a lot of people who have become electro-hypersensitive and are suffering from what is now called EHS and are now being treated at a number of hospitals. For example, Alex, you would know this in Toronto, that they now have doctors being trained at Women's College Hospital because they're getting so many complaints about EHS. Well, why are they getting so many complaints all of a sudden? Partly because we've got smart meters, but partly these people are being affected because they're full of heavy metals. Why are they full of heavy metals? Well, that's a chemtrail for you. There you go.
Yeah. The water supply also is a main concern.
Exactly. I mean, you got every aspect of our lives. Our bodies are being infused one way or another with heavy metal. Why is that? It doesn't necessarily kill us on its own. You're talking about things that accumulate over many, many years and have effects over many, many years. But you add that to the smart grid, and you've got a real assault on humankind. A real assault, and it's two-pronged there, and then they add metals into vaccines.
Yeah.
So, I mean, are we being assaulted, or are we being assaulted?
It's amazing how little our politicians will state anything objectively about the chemtrails or the inoculations or the smart meters. It's like there's a complete coup d'etat. No, they won't. They won't. It's really quite criminal.
There's no quite about it, Christopher.
Yes, you're right. There isn't.
But let's talk about what's going to be going on tomorrow, because tomorrow is a watershed event.
Yeah.
This is a nationwide thing, and I know you've mentioned Vancouver and Toronto, but I've heard about a lot of people across the country who are just itching, you know, to get that word out. We're not in Toronto and Vancouver. We are not the only ones in Canada being affected by that, not by a long shot. And
yeah.
So it is in everyone's interest to attend this event, to take note of this event, to tell people about this event. And now we need Afsana and Tony and Alex to tell us about the event.
Great.
Okay, I'll just I'll briefly tell you what we're doing here in Vancouver, and then maybe Alex can tell you about what they're going to be doing in Toronto. Tomorrow
Great.
We're going to have symptoms. What in the world are they spraying, and why in the world are they spraying? And in between the two films, we're going to have a couple of local speakers. Talking about the different aspects of chemtrails, Agenda 21, health issues, moist gummies, and so on and so forth. Ours is going to be from like 12 to 9 p.m. We've got a little conference room on the side, outside, just a couple of blocks away. And we're hoping to start networking. We need to have people come in and do some barn raising, you know, join efforts, network, and figure out how we can stop this. There's going to be one faction who doesn't know that it's going on, is going to be convinced, and that's who has to be convinced. And then there's the people who know about this, and we're hoping to get them to plug into each other. So that's what we're going to do tomorrow. And Alex was on our meetup group, and then I asked him if he could start something up, and he and 2 weeks later I get this message that he's got. On the same day, he's going to be showing both movies, and I'll let you take over from there, Alex.
Yes, hi. On the event day tomorrow, we're going to be presenting the two films, Why in the World Are They Spraying, and also Bye Bye Blue Skies. And this will be taking place at Bar From Public Library, which is on Bathurst Street in the Lawrence area, in just on the north end of Toronto there. And I'm quite happy to say today, it's quite interesting enough that the there's another meetup group called Awakened Minds and Hearts, and there's a group of 90 individuals there. They lost their organizer, and I took it over today, and I made this announcement, and apparently a whole group of individuals coming now from that group, and I'm quite happy to say that we're trying to spread this message, and it's so important to get this message out. I mean, I live actually just north of Toronto. I own a piece of land just north of Toronto, and I'm in the solar business, and believe me, I watch the skies daily, and later on in the show, when the time's appropriate, I'd like to also discuss so many things that are perceiving what they think are contrails are not even contrails. It's there's so much to learn here, and I just we'll get to that when we get to that. But the event tomorrow, I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm really hoping that we can get as many people out to come and just network and get the message out, because it is so important. This pollution of heavy metals, nano-sized particles of aluminum, barium, strontium, mercury, everything is being sprayed on the population, and this is, like you said, a crime against humanity.
It is criminal.
And even viruses. Like, I believe that they're intentionally spreading viruses that they've calculated in their labs that can be spread through particulate spray.
Yeah, and now
I would be surprised. I would be worried even if they were spraying rose water. I would still have a problem if they were spraying
exactly,
rose water.
Exactly, because they're not telling us what it is. You know, if they were being honest about it, they'd tell us what it is. Mm-hmm. And even at that, because they have such a history of lying to people, they tell you what it is, but is it what they say it is? Mm-hmm. Obviously not with chemtrails, because they keep telling us it's water vapor. Like, I found it really interesting. Yesterday I got an email in from somebody who was just sending me some really neat photos. And the photos were taken by Canadian astronaut Mark Hadfield, who's up on the space station right now, or Chris Hadfield, I should say. He's on the space station right now, and he took some photos from the space station of the Earth, and my, aren't they pretty. But son of a gun, if you can't see the chemtrail effects from space, taken from the space station, and the rippled clouds, which are, they are like a marker. When you see the ripples in the clouds, you're not talking about cirrus clouds that we used to see as kids floating way high in the sky. We're talking shots from space, and they make literally a checkerboard pattern because they ripple at right angles to each other. Those are chemtrails. There's no question.
Yeah, it makes it like a spine sort of a thing, right?
Exactly.
I heard there's like barium plasma antennas. They're actually for military radio communications, over the horizon radio communications. Like they're sending signals off of these. These are huge plasma antennas, right?
Yeah, and it just absolutely shocked me that you could literally see this from space. And here's Hadfield, who's blissfully floating around in his tin can, like Major Tom. And he's taking pictures of this stuff, and he doesn't know what he's looking at.
Oh, really?
He has no mention of chemtrails. Oh, no, isn't this pretty? Look at our wonderful Earth. Isn't it gorgeous? Look at the clouds. Look at the waters coming off Australia, floodwaters from northern Australia flowing into the ocean, and you can see the silt and all that. This is what he's pointing out. I'm going, yeah, but look at the clouds.
Wow.
Look at the clouds.
I heard that you were attempting to talk to the local police or politicians. Were you able to make any headway with any of the police or political groups?
Well, I guess we're going to have to take this by rounds. So this time around, I sent out and formally invited all the law firms in town, and then also all the local politicians, the MLAs. I just, you know, took their email address and sent out a whole bunch. Local, all the cities around here, and also the premier's office, and I forget the official title, but there's a whole council of them. And Minister of Environment, his name escapes me at the moment. I invited those. The next time around will have to be the fisheries, there have to be farmers, there will have to be anybody in a capacity that will be in a position to see them, but not know what to do about them.
Now, you just mentioned something that kind of triggered something in me. You mentioned the word farmers. And, of course, when you think about it, you know, our earth and, you know, whole swaths of territory are being sprayed by chemtrails on a repeated basis day after day after day after day. Sure, it's landing on us. Sure, we're breathing it in. But it's also landing on our fertile, produce-growing, grain-growing land. Well, I find it real interesting to find out that companies like Monsanto are patenting aluminum-resistant plants. Now, why in the flying blue blazes would all of a sudden Monsanto be creating in their lab aluminum-resistant plants, also plants that are able to grow in lowered light? And one of the things that people have been talking about for the last while is the fact that since we've been having chemtrails, which originated at least 20 years ago, what we've got is we've got lowered sun exposure. Now, they will tell us that, you know, those who are honest about it, or relatively honest, will tell us that it's, you know, some kind of a project to make the earth more reflective so we don't get fried by the sun. And that's a load of horse crap, as we all know. But the thing is that regardless, these metals and these salts are now falling on our agricultural land. And these things that they are spraying, that we are breathing, we are also eating. And it is also killing our plants. It's killing our food supply.
You can see that in the States, all the forests which are being decimated by the chemtrails.
Oh, yeah. Between that, like I said, between that and ARFID grids, which are everywhere, the cell phone towers, the senders, the data collectors, all these things, they're interacting with all these things, and it is literally, I do not even hesitate to use the words, it is a murderous assault on humanity.
Yeah.
Murderous assault.
I can inject one thing here. To say that a seed is aluminum resistant is kind of a misnomer, because what's happening is that they've just genetically modified this plant not to die despite its conditions being overrun with aluminum. So instead of dying, it just keeps on growing.
Mm-hmm.
And when we take this plant or vegetable and we eat it, we are getting a big dose of aluminum. We would never have eaten that plant because it would have died if there was so much aluminum in its surroundings. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's like we're getting little pills of aluminum by just eating these plants, because we really should stop calling them aluminum resistant. We should call them like balls of aluminum.
Yeah.
Not only that, but you're dealing with nanoparticles here. You're not dealing with, you know, a speck of this or a speck of that that the body can identify and deal with. You're dealing with nanoparticles that cross the blood-brain barrier. Now, we know for a fact that aluminum is a very, very strong neurotoxin, and that aluminum also causes the tangling of of neurons in the brain, and what it brings on is Alzheimer's. So you want to talk about the ultimate dumbing down of society, in addition to making us unhealthy and making our bodies unable to cope just with normal life. On top of that, they're making us dumber and dumber and dumber and dumber, and they're doing the same damn thing with the water with fluoride. So where does one go? Where does one stay to be safe?
Then they can set up new hospitals for the Alzheimer's patients.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because I think they're into that venue as well. My father had Alzheimer's, and it was very shocking seeing how he lost his faculties so much.
Yeah, my mom as well. My mother died of Alzheimer's as well. And, you know, she didn't get sick until after the years when they started putting chemtrails out there. So, you know, I have a particular interest in this. From my own family, and I don't know if people started perhaps thinking about the illnesses that have struck in their own families, they might be surprised to see the timing of these illnesses as opposed to when did this start and when did that start and then when did my family member get sick.
Yeah.
Because this is happening with the electromagnetic frequencies as well. When we see EHS developing, what you also see is you see that these things had a curious timing, that the timing is very, very telling.
Yeah.
And of course, in the meantime, ask an MP, what do they say? You know, so this is where we're going. Now,
I guess there's a lot of diseases which people consider to be related to the chemtrail spraying. I wonder if Afsane or Tony there would like to share something of what they see as other diseases linked to these phenomena.
Well, I'm listening to you guys. It's very interesting. I'm afraid I can't add much as far as diseases go. I don't know much about that.
I mean, I've heard respiratory problems in young people is a major influence, as well as Morgellons. Afsane had said something about the people in the West getting, what is it, Afsane, where you get nodes on your skin, like what is it you were saying? Say again?
Shingles?
Shingles, yeah. And then you'd seen advertisements on TV about them promoting new shingle, like anti-shingle prevention.
Yeah. Overweight,
it gets
better.
I know three people, two personally, and one through the TV, which is Barbara Walters. I found it, you know, I've never heard of an epidemic of shingles, but all of a sudden in one season, three people I heard. And not only that, I heard by way of another that she just saw an ad, not an ad, but a notice on the news about how people should go and get vaccinated against shingles.
Here's something real interesting
as well.
Well, it's actually chickenpox.
Oh.
What they've done is I've seen these commercials myself, okay, because if I watch TV at all, it's on the internet. Told my cable company to go eat dirt ages ago, but the thing is that I have access to a lot of American TV. Now you're not getting ads like this on Canadian TV. Canadians don't tolerate these ads too well, but Americans do. Where you've got an ad for a new drug or a new vaccine or a new this or a new that, and it's 20 seconds worth of deleterious side effects and 10 seconds worth of promotion. Well, what they are doing is they are saying, if you've had chicken pox, you already have the shingles virus in you. This is what they're saying. They're blaming it on chicken pox. Well, they may as well blame it on the chicken pox vaccine, because when I grew up, everybody was encouraged to have chicken pox and measles and mumps. These were the childhood diseases without which your immune system was not complete. And so I've had chicken pox. Am I afraid of getting the shingles? No, because I grew up before they invented a chickenpox vaccine, and I never got it. So I'm thinking that all of these kids that we so routinely slam up with all these horrible chemicals, these kids are getting the effect of viruses and possibly exacerbated and also possibly stimulated and engendered by what's coming down out of the sky. And when you look at the people who are now suffering from Morgellons, I mean, my God, I can't imagine a worse thing to suffer with.
Yeah, than, quite horrible.
I mean, plastic.
Perhaps you could explain what that looks like.
Sorry?
Perhaps you could explain what that looks like, Morgellons.
Oh, yeah, Morgellons is pretty, I mean, it takes a lot of forms, but generally speaking, what you see is lesions forming on any part of the body. It's not exclusive to anything, but they look like ulcers. And very often what you've got is you've got fibers growing literally out of the skin, and they are a form of silica or plastic, and yet they seem to contain blood cells. And they seem also to be responsive to stimuli, which means that in some strange way, they're actually alive. Now, what people are saying is that Morgellons did not exist prior to chemtrails. So they're assuming logically, I mean, it is a logical assumption to put the two of them together and say, wait a minute, these have got to be connected. They've got to be connected because it didn't exist prior to that. And shingles, no, you're right, Afsana, no such thing as an epidemic of shingles. Who's ever heard of that? I mean, come on. And we've got allergies popping up all over the place. What's the common denominator between all these people suffering now? Well, they're all in areas that have been sprayed copiously with all this crap.
And we also don't even know the role of these airplanes in causing flus, because they could easily be spreading flus through these inoculations.
Oh, sure, but they can do it through, I mean, I'm sure our guests have heard that there's, you know, things like blood plasma cells and desiccated blood and all kinds of stuff. In fact, going back to that little news item that I saw a few weeks back where U.S. Air Force jets almost had a mid-air collision with a chemtrail plane. From what I understand, when they crossed their vapor trail with the chemtrail plane, the chemtrail itself turned red.
Wow.
Now, to my mind, I mean, I've seen a drop of blood go into a bucket of water. And you know what happens? One drop of blood will turn the whole pail pink.
Yeah.
So what you're talking about is condensation trail coming off a normal jet engine, crossing paths with a chemtrail that's got stuff in it that turned red from the water?
Yeah, hmm. Yeah, and nowadays, too, I never used to see, like, tiny bits of rainbow form on the ridges of clouds when it's a sunny day. But that's
exactly
a common occurrence. That lets me know that there's something reflective in that cloud.
There's something refracting the light, and that could only be something that is reflective or even acting as a lens to refract the light, like that, make a rainbow. Clouds don't do that.
It's because of the nanoparticle nuclei. They're so small, the wavelength can't hit the whole. It's not big enough to hit the whole wave, the whole particle. So there's this refraction that happens, and we get this multicolored purple green cloud on the edges on sunny days, and it's not natural at all.
No,
yeah, thank
pretty.
You. Thank you, Alex. We should take a little bit of time here and turn the attention to Alex, and he's also got another very important. Research in terms of looking at the pollution on the environment. Why don't we give Alex a bit of time and he can share some of...
Absolutely.
Yeah, Alex, why don't you
Thank
take
you.
Us away a little bit and give us some background.
Okay. Well, we have to understand, and every time we have a conversation about chemtrails, and believe me, I listen to everything so intently, and I try to analyze it, and I try to put it into scope with what I've learned, and what I've learned is that we don't live in a box. We live on a planet, and this planet Earth, even though we are being sprayed, and it's terrible, and it's got to stop immediately, the Earth is consistently, and I mean consistently, trying to clean the pollution.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that it's just, okay, we have to understand that there are mechanisms at work here, and if we alter the way we think, we can actually alter the environment we live in. And this is very true. I have studied and maybe I've looked into, and it's not just this particular individual. His name is Dr. William Reich. A little bit of history about him. He was he was basically a student of William Freud, and basically came to North America after the World War II. And basically what he studied was the effects of the Earth and how the Earth cleaned itself after nuclear detonations. And a perfect example of that is Hiroshima, okay? Today, Hiroshima is a vibrant metropolis with babies being born consistently every day without defects. Yet, 70 years ago, an atom bomb was dropped on this location. So where's the 10,000 years of radiation? Where's all the defects? Well, this is absolute proof that the Earth can restore itself within years. And I just want to bring this, and I really appreciate everything that's said, and I really love that everyone and people are looking up in the sky and actually saying, look, that's not a contrail, that's a contrail. When you were mentioning, you know, that's a contrail, and you said it was about 3 feet long, and then it eventually disappeared on a blue day, on a blue sky day. What's going on here? And this has changed. This has not been the case for a long time. And what has happened is there's a group of individuals who have also looked into William Reich and what he has discovered in the terms of the Earth being able to clean itself. And I mean clean itself fast. I mean, we are talking about chemical planes that leave a trail off in the distance and then come into an area where that area is just charged with positive earth-cleaning energy, and then the trail simply looks or becomes what a person would say, oh, look, there's a contrail. But it wasn't a contrail. It's actually a chemtrail plane that in a certain area that's charged, that's just simply, the Earth knows when a volcano blows, and the Earth has had countless volcanoes, 70% or 60% of the Earth's mass was made by volcanoes. Where did all the pollution go? It has been cleaned, and it has been cleaned by the ionic, the magnetic. There are fields there. There are so many cleaning mechanisms going on the planet that the planet was designed and made to protect the life that is harbored on. So we have to start to understand, and what I'm trying to try to, and it's not just me. I mean, if you go on the internet, I mean, there are many people who have made these cloud busters or chem busters, and even though they're interesting devices, and quite oddly enough, you might remember the music video by Kate Bush, where I'm just trying to remember, Keith Sutherland, I think, or the father, the older one, Donald Sutherland, I think he was an actor in it. That is the story of William Reich. He had built a cloud buster. He has a big machine there on the hill, and then later on in the video, they come with the black coats from the government, of course, because they know what he's up to and know that he's figured out something. And basically, they cart him away, and he points to Kate Bush, or I think it's supposed to be a son in the video, to go up. And Kate Bush runs up the hill and pulls all the levers, and all of a sudden, it starts to rain. And this was because Mr. William Wright had discovered that cloud, you see, when the sky is blue because the sky or the Earth expects there to be no particulate in the air. So when a chemtrail is sprayed in a blue sky and that chemtrail sticks,
that Earth is not healthy. And it that's and the incredible thing is there was a whole, like you said, there's a whole grid network that was designed on purpose in order for the chemtrails to work, because the chemtrail program is a lot older than we think it is. They've been trying to make it work for many years, and they realized, and I'm going to share information that is powerful here, they knew that they could not spray the skies with chemtrails because the Earth was cleaning it up before they could make lines.
Uh-huh.
They had to disturb the Earth's natural healing energy in order to make the chemtrail stick. Thus, the cell phone tower, grid network, and this whole altering of the Earth's magnetic field in order for the Earth not to respond to the chemtrail spraying.
And
when you alter an area, and I can do this right here in my place, I have solar panels to prove it, I can alter a 50-kilometer spread from corner to corner of my sky where no chemtrail plane can leave a mark.
Well,
they say it's going to be cloudy?
Go ahead. I have a cloud buster, an Oregon cloud buster, sitting right outside my front door. And I can tell you, the thing needs recharging now because it's years old. But when I first got this thing, they would, as a matter of course, they always seem to lay a chemtrail right over my house. Mm. And I'm looking up at this chemtrail going, son of a gun. Then I put this cloud buster outside, and it's about 6 feet tall, 6.5 feet tall, made of copper and with the Oregon polyresin, metal bits in it and crystals and the whole nine. And I looked at it and what was going on above to that chemtrail. And do you know the thing was slicing the chemtrails like they were hot dogs?
Yes,
I've
actually noticed something very interesting. Sometimes when you see the chemtrail break down, they actually look like DNA breaking down, like the chains breaking down. Have you ever noticed
exactly.
that?
Exactly. Exactly.
That's very interesting that I've noticed that.
It sounds pretty ominous that, you know, we facilitated this whole thing by having cell phones and wireless communication. But is there any way that we could have our cell phones and also be using, like, this grid system and not be affected by it? Like, you know, what you just said, I thought to myself, well, I have to throw away my cell phone. I have to use
really
wireless technology because I, you know, it's going to be dependent on this technology, but this technology facilitates a grid work that they can spray their chemicals on.
Yeah, yeah, and of course, we know that all started with the HAARP project, which is centered up in Wakona, Alaska. And it started out with a grid up there of 180 towers, and that HAARP network has been spread around the world now. So,
yes,
you know, they've
locations.
Got these ionospheric disruptors, which is what HAARP is, and they can set the frequencies with which the Earth would normally cleanse. But what's really interesting to me is that, you know, Alex was talking a moment ago about how the Earth's natural cleansing mechanisms come into play. Well, I'm a metaphysician, and I'm sure none of you knew that, but I'm a metaphysician, and I deal with body-mind connections, and I'm very familiar with Reich, and very familiar with the fact that any energy, thought energy, that we put out is actual physical energy in waves just like anything else. So to analogize the way the Earth cleanses, I would say it's sort of like you go to a lake with a bucket of water that's dirty, okay? And you can imagine that the Earth is synonymous in this scenario with the lake. It's huge. It has a landmass that's undecipherable from where we sit as little fleas on this huge body, with a massive diameter flying through space at 25,000 miles an hour. I mean, come on, this is huge. So, no, they can't spray the Earth with any effectiveness. It's just like taking your polluted bucket, dumping it into the lake, and what happens? Within minutes, the lake itself is going to dilute and disperse and disempower whatever pollution was in your little bucket. Mm-hmm. So you need a whole lot more buckets than one to screw it up. So what can you do? Well, if you screw up the lake, then maybe your bucket of pollution is going to make a difference. And that's exactly what they're doing here. That is exactly what they're doing here. They are polluting us beyond a level of tolerance for living things. And now that, you know, Alex, you raised a really interesting point, this the ability of the earth to cleanse herself mm-hmm. is very relative to one of the questions, and I'm sure you people have been asked this question, why would they do this to us? Aren't they breathing it too? Aren't the elite, the globalists, the ones who control the powers that be, aren't these people breathing it too?
Yeah, well, they sacrifice themselves.
Well, you know what? I think most of them live in areas where there's not an awful lot of chemtrailing going on, and they're probably protected in ways that we don't know about. But here's the thing. People are thinking, well, if they're going to kill the earth, they won't be able to live off it either. But what you just raised is the point that they're, you know, this kind of explains the underground cities that have been built and all of this stuff. It's like they've got the ability, if they know that the earth over a period, a very short period of time, can cleanse itself to the point of being perfectly healthy again, then what are they doing? Essentially what they're doing is they're culling the human population of this planet, but they know damn well they can replenish. And they know the earth can replenish. And so
very
it's like
quickly.
wipe us all out and then let the earth heal itself. They've got their doomsday seed bank. They've got their...
But how about all our dead souls? We'll come back to haunt them.
Yeah, well...
I will. If I can, I'm coming back to haunt them.
Well, you know what?
I'll get them in their little dumps underground.
Well, I think, Alsana, that you'd probably have to get in line because there's a lot of us thinking that way. I mean, I would love, dearly love, to come back as a ghost and scare the living bejesus out of Henry Kissinger, but that's me. You know, I mean, that man, to my knowledge, has done more to kill people than any other living being on the planet. But, you know, that's just me talking. If I wanted to pick one person to be able to haunt, he'd be it.
Yes.
Just one of my fave enemies. But look at what we've all said here. Look at how all these things are interconnected. Now, if that doesn't scare the pants off you, I don't know what will. I really don't. I mean, what's it going to take for people to wake up? And, you know, you guys are doing a fabulous job. Because this is the most awareness I've seen. I go back a few years and I've been watching very carefully. What are these citizen groups, what are these grassroots groups doing? And to have an event like what you've got going tomorrow that is far flung across the country, and there, it's in, you know, you may even have events going on you don't even know about that are tied in with this. But the thing is that this is massive. What you've put together here is massive. It's really, really good stuff. It's gone a long way. I have to ask you, though, are you videotaping? Are you going to have archives available for those people who don't live in cities where these demonstrations are taking place and these movies? Are you putting together something that they can take away with them and share at a later time?
Or view on the Internet.
Yeah.
Well, I have a website.
Go ahead. We figured out somebody's coming over. Michelle Edmond is going to be filming our event. So hopefully it turns out that we have something to put up online afterwards.
Excellent. Well, and Alex, what about Toronto? You've got an event tell us again where it is. It's at the library
at
Bathurst?
Barbara from Public Library, which is on Bathurst Street, just north of Lawrence.
Okay.
If you go to the meetup group, Ontario Chemtrail Action and Awareness Group. You will see the event there posted with all the, you know, directions, and it has all the TDC information as well.
Excellent, excellent. Well,
what was the name of that Ontario Action Awareness?
The Ontario Chemtrail Action and Awareness Group.
And we have a website too. It's www.freedomdefender.net, and basically it's just the home base for us to accumulate our knowledge, what we've learned, and try to share as much information as possible.
Yeah, excellent.
Okay, well,
okay, we'll have to give those out again.
End of the show. Yeah, and people, get your pencils and pens ready, because you're going to want to write this down, because I'll tell you, these are events, and the films that you're showing are extremely valuable films. And, I mean, these films, Blue Skies, and what in the world are they spraying, and why in the world are they spraying? I know Vancouver's showing the two Ed Griffin films. You're showing Blue Skies at the Barbara Frum Library, as well as What in the World Are They Spraying? There are movies out there that are available that are entirely geared to the average person's consciousness. It's not above anybody.
What I liked about my own movie that I did, that I mean, it's my own venture, was that it starts with a picture of the Georgia Guidestones. And it starts with the statement of maintaining the world's population under 500 million. And so my chemtrail movie is shot with that as the background. That opens the film, and then at the end it comes back to that again. That, to me, I think, is the most important aspect to chemtrails, is this decimation of the population.
Yeah, well, they've got too many animals on their farm, and they're culling their herd, and that's what's going on. Funny part of it is that if you were a farmer in that situation, that's exactly what you would do.
And I wondered if these other two movies, if either of them put the population reduction first, or do they see it as secondary or third or whatever? Maybe anyone might answer that.
They mentioned it a little bit in the first movie. The second movie, it was a lot. They were saying the health implications are a big deal. I think it's implied. I know it's hard to say, because I've listened to so many radio interviews. I know that he brings that up. Michael Murphy does bring that up. But I can't remember Alex. I don't know.
Yeah, it was funny. I had Alfred Murphy on this show once, talking about chemtrails, and he was saying that they had sprayed, I think it was 700 million tons across the states. And I brought that question up to him, and I'm not sure what his response was, but he seemed to dissuade to move over to the environmental impact or something. I'm not sure exactly what his response was.
Well, you know what? I hate to say it to anybody, but like I said at the top of the show, I said all roads lead to Rome here. So if you're talking about an environmental impact, you cannot separate environmental impact from our health. We live in it. We swim in it. We breathe it. We eat it. This is our environment. If you're going to kill our environment, you're going to kill us.
Boy,
that's why the spraying is so constant, and they have to keep it up, because they know if they don't keep it up, it's not going to have an effect on us. So they just pound it upon us consistently, and it makes it a part.
Everything in the universe is analogous to itself. It's all like the yogis say, microcosm, macrocosm. There's an old yogic saying that says the secrets of the ocean may be found in the dewdrops. So if you consider us to be the dewdrops, you're absolutely right, Alex. They have to keep this up, because our bodies will do what the earth does, won't they?
Yeah, cleanse it. Cleanse us.
Yeah, we will cleanse ourselves. If they stop, we'll get clean. We will get clean. So they don't dare stop. Right, you know, it's a fascinating proposal. They've committed. It's like they've crossed the Rubicon here. Now we're in trouble.
Yes, and also I maybe wanted to mention one thing that maybe people didn't know. A lot of these chemtrail planes that are flying, these are drones. I've been told this a couple of times now. They wouldn't have pilots fly them, because look how long the program's been going for. It would be, you know, eventually a pilot's going to crack. Eventually a pilot's going to, you know, spill beans. So to avoid this problem, the initial phase-in of the chemtrail program in 98 to 2000, when they really went gung-ho on the program and started it, you know, mainstream as they have, is they've, you know, they use pilots in the beginning of the program. Now, the reason why there are no flight plans, because you were mentioning this, and there was a collision, the reason why there's no flight plans is because they're drones. And these plans, these planes are being flown remotely from a location. There are no pilots. Everything has been broken down so much. The maintenance of these vehicles, right down, there are stories now that they're actually being filled at main airports via the waste disposal systems. And they've hollowed out, for instance, the lightning rods at the end of the wings and fitted spray nozzles on the end of those so people would know what their purpose are. It's very deceptive. There's so much information, and it's incredible.
Yeah, I think that, yes, they're probably using drones, but also the people who are, there's actual human beings who are, know about this, and they're allowing this to happen. They've been sold on the idea that they're saving the planet because of global warming.
Uh-huh.
We can't even speak about chemtrails without addressing the issue of global warming, because the issue of global warming happens to never include planes spraying in their equations as to why the climate is changing.
Exactly.
It comes to the conclusion that the climate is changing and we have to tax people in order to save the climate in the world and the earth, but they never figure it in their equations and they never talk about the planes that are spraying.
Exactly, and that is a major issue that I would like to see brought up with Elizabeth May. Because Elizabeth May is the party leader in this country federally who speaks the most about climate change. And as far as I'm concerned, you know what? The Earth, left to its own devices, changes climate all the time. It always has, it always will. But they're
correct.
Using this, and you look at Al Gore. How did they promote Al Gore and his little movie that won him the Nobel Peace Prize? Well, why did he get the Peace Prize? That was to legitimize all this crap he was spreading about
climate
change.
He got the Oscar. I don't think he got the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah, he did. Him and Obama both got it. It was disgusting.
Yeah. Incredible.
Disgusting. I mean, you know, and then
well, actually,
Obama.
Al Gore was on the Ellen Show the other day. I saw a video. You might go on YouTube and find it. It's the Al Gore Ellen Show chemtrails, and you'll see where he, in a roundabout way, they say, "Well, we've heard rumors. There are rumors. Some people say that there are planes spraying, and I think it's really crazy because they're trying to change that. We should just leave the. I mean, it was like." With a turnaround, with an about face, because he's probably behind one of the chemtrail plans.
Exactly.
And for him to turn around and say he thinks it's crazy in a roundabout way, admit that there are planes spraying, and then, you know what I'm saying? It was just weird. But anyway, he does, Alan and Al Gore address the issue of planes spraying to change the weather.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, they've had weather modification patents going since the 70s. 1974, I heard they sold the woodpecker technology to Russia, and now, of course, Russia is using that woodpecker technology, which is Tesla-based, and we've got the HAARP stuff over in Alaska. You combine those two, you've got a massive segment of the world covered with stuff that can only alter things to the detriment of humankind and to the detriment of the Earth. There's no question that these things are connected. The thing is, we don't have anybody, aside from the odd whistleblower who tends to get dismissed because they just get discredited and demonized and marginalized by the powers that be and by the mainstream media. These people are basically made to look like nut bars, and yet the information that they're sharing, and we've all, I think everybody who's sitting together in this little group right now, every single one of us has been marginalized by what we're talking about. Every single one of us knows exactly what that feels like.
Yes, but I would like to say, I'm sorry if I can interject, in the last 2 days of passing out flyers, I've noticed a real big increase in awareness about chemtrails over the last little while.
Yes, and thank God for small mercies. There's an increase in awareness across the board because, interestingly enough, we're now hitting a tipping point that, you know, where the stuff that a lot of us were saying 10 and 15 and even 20 years ago is now coming to pass, and people are remembering, oh, my God, I dismissed that 10 years ago, and there it is, it's in my face, I can no longer deny it. You know, things like how trade groups steal your sovereignty. They weren't looking at things like that 10 years ago, but they sure are now. It's cumulative. This energy of awareness is cumulative. Just like the pollution they're dumping on us, we are also accumulating knowledge. So the question is their garbage going to overwhelm our clean stuff, or is our clean stuff going to overwhelm our garbage? Well, or their garbage. So it's like it's a matter of time before that tipping point. Afsana, you mentioned the words tipping point right at the beginning of the show, and that's exactly where we're headed. Do you not agree that we're getting to the point where the public is now stopping their sheep-like ignorance of all of this and is starting to lift their heads and say, huh? You know, what's this?
Thank you. Thanks to the economy.
Yeah, thanks to the economy. Thanks to their toes being stepped on, which is another thing.
You can also look at it this way, too. I mean, there's a surveillance society, and the scare that we have of being constantly watched. But by the same token, our cell phones have been able to capture brutality. You know, wrongful incidents that were, power authorities abusing their power. So there could be all this stuff is being placed around us. But at some point, maybe we could turn it around and, you know, rather than having negative vibrations being beamed around the world, maybe there'll be positive, healthy vibrations that we can beam around the world with this grid work.
Well, absolutely. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, if you're spreading the truth, you're spreading the good energy, because even if a truth is nasty, it's necessary to be known in order to fix anything. You know, you cannot operate in ignorance. When you operate in ignorance, you wind up in the ditch. That's called the blind leading the blind. And we have to get the vision, the true vision of what's really going on out there, so that we're no longer blind and leading blinder people into more and more trouble. And we have to be very, very careful and cautious to use the things that are going to be productive in that aspect and not counterproductive. We can't be seen, and this is one of the troubles that we all have, is that the people who are spreading these truths are looked on, have been looked on up until recently. Now it's much, much better. As Tony was saying a moment ago, it's much, much better now for those of us who are trying to spread that truth. But I'll tell you, there's still a lot of ignorance out there, and it is willful ignorance. Would you not agree that it's willful? A lot of people, they just don't, I can't hear that, I don't want to hear that, I got enough problems in my own life, I can't be responsible for everything, it's not my fault, there's nothing I can do, you can't fight City Hall, and on and on and on.
We still hear a lot of that.
Yeah,
we still hear a lot of that.
Yeah, that's what scares me the most, because we are literally in a race against time here. We literally are in a race against time. I mean, if it were not for people like Afsana and Tony and Alex, you know, and duplicates of them, clones of their work, if it were not for those people, the rest of us would be ignorant.
Well, I think you're including yourself on the wrong side there.
Well, no, actually, I'm not. But then, you know, I'm a shy, retiring type, as you may have guessed.
If there is one thing I'd like to add about all this, I would like to say that I think Toronto would be the same. You would never see a contrail over Toronto normally, because the jet paths don't fly over cities at the altitude that is necessary to produce a contrail, which is 40,000 feet. And I believe that in Vancouver, you'll never see a contrail over Vancouver for that reason.
Well, actually, you probably can see it in Toronto, but not so much in Vancouver, because we have a moist climate here. So you'd really have to be high up, and we don't have the dry conditions needed. We might get the temperatures every so often that it gets really cold, but we just don't have we have lots of moisture in the air. So we really shouldn't even be seeing contrails.
Exactly.
Even if there were contrails, we'd have to think, wait a minute, why are the weather conditions like this all year round?
Well,
yeah, exactly.
As I understand it, above 40,000 feet, you're getting to uniform temperatures around the world. But
correct.
Does anybody else know about this?
They say it's between 32 and 40,000 feet is where you get your contrails, and when you do see the planes, if they are making contrails, you won't be able to see the plane from the ground. It's just a little pin, and that's why a lot of these times when we see people, in a lot of videos you see on the internet and a lot of people talking about, oh, look, that's a contrail, that's a chemtrail. They're not contrails. They look like contrails, but not really, because a contrail should only be a couple of plane lengths. These are still, you know, quite long, but they are breaking down. You know, if you can see the plane, it's not a real contrail, because the plane would be just a pin in the sky.
Yeah,
that's correct. If you can see a contrail, the plane is very, very small. And I believe that the planes spraying chemtrails over the city are much lower than any contrail could be.
Yeah, they are visible. They are visible. They still look pretty small. I think they're
That's
probably
right.
Hovering at the lowest extremity of the contrail range. But you know, the thing you got to recognize around a major city like Vancouver or Toronto, or anything in between, you're dealing with major international airports. The planes are coming in to land and taking off here. You know,
but we don't
see
them leaving anything. I'm in a position where I can see. There are constant jet passenger planes that go by constantly, and there's nothing. They don't leave anything.
Exactly.
And they're the ones. And
I'm on a flight path from Pearson, for God's sake.
I know the difference between 30,000 feet away from me and a little pin going with the trail behind it, and something that's at 15,000 or 20,000. It's just much closer. The plane is bigger, and when it leaves, it's substantial. I can actually feel like I can, you know, reach up and touch it.
Exactly. And you know, I mean, if you look over Toronto, every plane that is in the vicinity is landing either at the Buttonville Airport, or it's landing at Pearson, or it's landing at the Island Airport where you get small jets, or it's a military plane that's landing at Downsview or one of the other nearby bases. But you're dealing with an area that is a hub for air transport. And consequently, you're going to have a lot of planes at a lot of lower altitudes. And no, we do not see contrails on jets around here. I'm on a flight path from Pearson. I can look up in the sky at any given time of the day or night, and I'll see a passenger plane or a cargo plane going by.
Yeah.
But are there any contrails? No, they're too low. They're either landing or they're taking off, and they're not at their cruising altitude, which, as we all know, is what? Around 30,000 to 35,000 feet.
It depends where they're going, but at 40,000 feet is where you see the contrail.
Exactly.
And as far as I know, they don't fly over cities. They make in fact, I know in Canada, they would never fly over cities.
Perhaps no, they're not going to bypass. They're going to come down or they're going to come up from here. And by the time they're at cruising altitude, they are well beyond the horizon already. So you're not going to see.
And if they're flying past Toronto, they don't go over top of Toronto.
Exactly. So anything you see that's lines over Toronto has got to be chemtrails.
That's
I wonder
right.
if Alex, did you ever see the Toronto Street News that had the chemtrails all over the front cover?
I believe I saw just an internet copy of it on a website.
Oh, yeah, that was very interesting. It was the whole front cover of the Toronto Street News was chemtrails, and it had soldiers on who kind of saying that Canada didn't have the jets to do that type of spraying and so on.
Sure.
So,
I just wanted to add one thing. An event that happened here. I live on a property just north of Toronto, Schomburg area, and this is just right north of Pearson, and the planes, I'm telling you, there's a flight plan of sprayers that go right over me, and I can tell you this honestly, this is complete truth. I was outside by my 10-kilowatt solar tracker just doing some maintenance, and I heard a loud plane coming, and, you know, I'm always looking at every single plane that comes, and sure enough, there's this big mother plane coming, and it's at maybe 2,000 feet, 3,000 feet max, and it turned on its sprayer for about 1,000 feet and then turned it off right over my head.
Lovely.
And then just flew away. And this was like, wow. You know,
I think
blew
I've seen
me
that.
Away.
And almost like they're taunting you.
I'm wondering if these pilots these politicians, like, what's their defense going to be? I was doing my job, I knew about it, but I was just doing my job. Or are they being blackmailed? Like, or do they have protection, like insurance protection against malpractice? I mean, we're talking about a lot of people who must have okayed on this plan because this is a worldwide plan.
Yeah.
Boy, are you talking on my wavelength, Asana. You really are. Because as far as I'm concerned, these guys ought to be frog marched to jail, a lot of them.
Yeah.
And
but
quite
all
frankly,
goes...
there is no way. We all know. We're five people sitting here with relatively solid knowledge about this stuff. And there's no way that our MPs have not been, over the past 10, 15 years, absolutely snowed under by people saying, what in the hell are you doing to us? And they turn around, every last one of them.
They turn around
and they say, it's contrails, it's condensation. And you just want to strangle them on the spot because you know they're lying.
Yeah.
Surely to God they're not that ignorant.
Or they don't know the truth.
At some point, but why are they not worried? Why aren't more of them worried that we're going to eventually get to the point where we're going to have to hold somebody responsible for this? Some people.
Well, the way of the elite is to scapegoat. That's what they do. They scapegoat so that the real perpetrators go free and some fool down beneath them gets nailed. So I'm wondering how many of them are realizing, hey, I'm the cannon fodder.
The way to get the message out is the mainstream media. They control the mainstream media, therefore they control the minds of the majority of people on this planet. Unfortunately, this is a fact. They, over the 80s and 90s, I saw it. I used to go up north in rural Ontario. You'd have a small little radio station where, you know, we could have this discussion on AM radio and, you know, get 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 people in a local area. Well, they've gone out and they've purchased Rogers, Bell Media. All these huge corporations have gone out and simply offered these small owners of these small little radio stations to fit. You know, if they only had 50,000 in their business, they'd offer them 400, 500, 600,000, and they say, oh, sure, I have my license. They don't care. They just want to make sure that they control the airways. They control what you think, what you know, and as long as chemtrails is never spoken to. On the weather reports, chemtrails is high cloud. That's how the meteorologists call chemtrails, high cloud. That's the word for it now.
Yes, they do.
Well, he's fired once this comes out for not doing his job properly, for misidentifying formations, anomalous formations in the sky.
There was a town in Ontario, Española, was it, I think it was, that actually sued the federal government about 10 or 15 years ago. I don't know if anybody knows anything about that.
Yeah, Elmira. It was in the town of Elmira.
Well, that's
Elmira.
A place.
Oh, okay. Elmira in Ontario, yes. They sued the province.
Oh.
Yeah.
And you know what happened?
It was completely thrown out.
Of course. Well, who owns the courts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
I
sent out the law firms. I'd like to, you know, make this like a legal liability to deny the existence of chemtrails because they're just so obvious. They're right there. Once you educate people, a lot of people just don't know, I guess, and don't know enough to get mad.
That's right. If
they
knew what it was doing to their children. They knew what it was doing to their families and to their loved ones, they would say something. It's just, as long as the media won't recognize it, a lot of people are going to have a hard time because they're programmed to believe everything the media says. No one researches anymore. I mean, there's very few people who actually dig deep. Everyone just relies on the media to tell them what to think and what to do. And it's so hard to break people from that, just that traditional way of getting knowledge, you know, and we need to change these things, and that's the way we have to do something.
That's right. We need to change these things.
They also need to have a healthy mistrust of every piece of information. They're suspicious of everything else that's outside of the mainstream. Whereas, well, look, if you're going to hold anything under scrutiny, also hold the media, the mainstream media under scrutiny. Because they have broken men, they have lied many times, and we don't hold them accountable. They lied about the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. The media lied that. The media sold that.
Yeah,
how come we can't sue these producers of these shows that come out with these what we know?
Let me put a fine point on
that.
They don't. They can lie to us. There's nothing we do. We keep watching their shows.
Okay, guys, listen to this, okay? My point would be this. It's very easy to say the media. Does the media have a name? Does it have a face? Does it live in a neighborhood? Right?
Yes.
Does it have children that go to the school where your kids go? Do the media not live in an area? Well, of course they do. They live in neighborhoods just like we do. One of the guys from City Pulse News, from Cable Pulse 24, which is now, again, owned by Bell, okay,
mm-hmm.
happens to live a block from me. Okay, guy lives around the corner. Rick Mercer lives about 8 blocks from me. Why are we not, now? I'm not including Rick and the bad guys because Rick has exposed all kinds of neat stuff. But the thing is that when we refer to the media, we're always talking them about them collectively. And I think what we need to do with politicians, with elected officials, with authorities, and with everybody is stop letting them hide behind their damn desks.
It's not just the media. We have a weatherman here in Vancouver called Mark Verdriga, who reports the weather on Channel 11, and I've confronted him about chemtrails. He's lied to me about his credentials, saying that he's not a meteorologist, I really don't know how to deal with that.
Well, here's the thing. What I would suggest that people do is start targeting. If you catch somebody in a lie, target that son of a bee and say, we caught you, you lied, and you need to retract your statement, and you need to do it now. And you don't let up. And you go right into the guy's neighborhood. You know, placard is...
But you know what? I need 4 brains and maybe 10 bodies. Like, personally, if I could grow that,
yeah.
we could have this sustained, effort to be in their faces. But that's I only have 24 hours in a day and 1 single body.
I know.
This
is the problem that we all have. I mean,
yeah.
there's so few hands that are capable of spreading this information, so few voices that are capable of spreading this information, that, you know, we need that kind of help. But I really believe that if these guys started to get targeted in their own neighborhoods where they live, if people started being able to point them out where they live, hey, that's the guy that lied to us, right? People mm-hmm. don't like being ostracized at home. So we aren't ostracizing them at home. We're calling them the media, the government, the bureaucrats, the agency, Homeland Security, the FBI, the RCMP. They're always hiding behind a label. Mm-hmm. Well, how about we bring them all down to the human level where they have human families and human relatives and human reasons not to do what they're doing? Why don't we go there?
We have targeted these people on more than one occasion because one of the global news station is around the corner from where we set up our 9/11 tent every month on the 11th. And they pass by the tent sometimes unwittingly. We do target them, but they think they have numbers on their side.
Yeah, well, they do until it gets to that tipping point. So, you
That's
know, I
right.
would say just keep at them because eventually it's going to come out. Eventually,
and
if you...
Yeah,
if you,
I guess so. And I guess when the dead bodies pile up, too.
Yeah.
Let's be frank. We'd still be doing the asbestos thing if people were dying from it. So
exactly.
Not to say that we
point?
Need dead bodies here,
no.
but it's cumulative, too. I mean, the effects are... I don't. There's got to be more sicknesses now related to this. If we had, like I said, I needed four brains to, you know, have all this information ready.
Well, kids born with leukemia.
I just read a thing the other day about the Canadian government has showing how the death rate of Canadians has dropped significantly over the last period, and was anyone aware?
Yeah, maybe the rate, but you know what? When they say death rate, you know, they manipulate statistics, as we all know. And so when they say death rate has dropped, they may say in a certain age group or by a certain age. And, of course, we've got all kinds of weirdness going on with all of these things. And just because you live longer doesn't mean you live healthier.
No, they're saying
Mark Twain said lies and lies and statistics.
Exactly.
Sure, because they'd like to keep you ill and medicated.
Well, yeah, they want you medicated by something, and if enough people aren't swallowing their pills, they'll drop them on us from the sky or add it to the water or put it in the food.
Well, soon we'll forget. I mean, yeah, time. We'll soon forget about chemtrails just because we've got...
Alzheimer's.
Yeah. That's what we've got to look forward to. If we don't do something about it, we'll forget about it.
We'll forget we have a government.
Yeah.
Ignorance is bliss, they say. Oh, okay.
It is amazing, though, how many people go along with it, like in the military and in the media and all these different sources. Everybody turns a blind eye to it, and yet everybody's getting sprayed. I think
I think a lot of people have careers, mortgages, all sorts of things bind people to not actually to actually go against the best interest in the long term. Short interest, you might get the bills paid if you don't step out of line in these, you know, talk show hosts. But in the long term, you got to make the calculations. You got to be intelligent on your own, you know.
And I think there's a large feeling of powerlessness that is kind of a little bit overwhelming.
Yeah, well, people are always afraid to act on their own. There's safety in numbers, so until they see the numbers, they shut up.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of them will say, oh, yeah, I know about that, but what can I do?
Yeah.
You know, and
you know, I've run into all ranges. People are at different levels. It's a psychology, you know, the process, the psychological process you have to go through.
Yeah. Yeah, and we can't be so naive.
You gotta, you know, admit that they're there, then you got to figure out what they are, and then the whole grieving process, once you go through that area, I remember thinking that everybody was in on it. The government officials and the police and the health officials, just everybody was in on it. But, you know, I think they just don't know better. It's a matter of educating them.
It's like talking to an engineer about Building 7.
Yeah. that can get real.
Involved on that, I'm sure.
That can get real interesting. I remember watching the video of that building going down, watching the squibs go off and the beams. I'm going, yeah. And why would they need explosives in the beams if the building was going to go down on its own? And why bring it down anyway, since it wasn't even really damaged?
I come from a family of engineers, so I've had lots of fun talking about Building 7 with engineers and haven't got anywhere.
Yeah, well, you know how it goes. You say something that they don't want people to know, and you're not going to go anywhere too quickly with it. They're going to make sure of that. And there you are. There's Alex getting sprayed in his own damn field, you know, deliberately. Here, have a taste of chemtrail.
Yeah.
Like, well, yeah, they know who we are. They know who we all are. If we're active against them one way or another.
Well, I can see the day that it was stopped. I can see that. Myself, I remember clear blue skies, and I'm going to reach that. It might, at least locally, I can see it. It will happen again. The sunshine. We have a tiny amount of sunshine in Vancouver anyway. To think that people can tolerate that, even that much more spraying that did the light, you know.
Not like we get a lot of sunny days here, and when we have one sunny day, they spray the whole sky white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are people okay with this?
Yeah, Vancouver was amazing when I was there. It was always chemtrails in the sky.
I have pictures of
it's
beautiful,
phenomenal to think.
Vancouver. We'll get there. I can see blue skies.
Yeah, but you know what? I pointed out to some neighbors of mine, they've got two very young children that in the last 2 years they've popped two of them. And, you know, I'm looking up at the sky, standing out last fall, looking up at the sky, and they had their new baby and their older daughter with them, and it was a beautiful sunny day, and for once there were no chemtrails in the sky, and I looked up at the sky and said, it really is a pretty day, and they agreed with me, and I said, but do you realize that when you were a kid, when you looked up at the sky, it looked like it had so much depth to it, you could just like absorb yourself in it and fly forever. And it was so deep, the blue was so deep and so vibrant that it was an incredible experience to lie on your back on the grass and just look at the depth of the sky. And now you look at the sky.
I was telling Tony that there used to be a gradient from when you got from the apex of the horizon to when you got down to the horizon, when there's that whole arc. And the blue skies used to have a gradient.
Yeah, they're
now
not blue anymore.
One solid blend color.
It's past.
I think Christopher might. I'm sure that Christopher noticed across the prairies that how they were spraying on the prairies and the farmers there having nothing other to look at than the horizon in the sky, and them not realizing it. And that I think really blew my mind when I drove across the prairies.
Yeah, the
part that's frightening is that how disconnected people must be from nature if they go outside and they don't notice.
This is the thing. I mean, our children do not know what the sky really looks like. They're seeing it through a veil of chemicals. They do not know what the sky looks like.
The farmers are more interested in the profits.
Say, Alex, was it?
The farmers today are more interested in profits. Where I live, they're all large, you know, farming operations. They're no small farmers anymore. They're just large agri-corp businesses that have thousands of acres that they basically plant their GMO crops on. And there are GMO crops all around us. Roundup Ready.
They still have farmers markets there, though.
Pardon me?
They still have farmers markets.
Yes. Oh, yeah. There's many small... very aware farmers out there who have small operations, who are farming organically, who are aware of the situation and doing everything they can. And yes, you can get good produce. It's just that they are spraying the grounds with all types of sprays to control weeds, and then they're spraying the sky with chemicals. Like, I mean, being out in the country,
sometimes I feel like I'm in more of a chemical, you know. There's just more contamination around me, and I just and it's just really upsetting. And I'm trying to do everything I can.
You have to understand they're doing that kind of pollution they're creating for yet another reason, that other reason being to pollute the food that we eat. And as we all know, you control the money, you can control the nation, but you control the food, you control the people.
Well, how organic is the organic food if it's been laying outside where they've been chemtrailing?
Well, here's the thing. Considering chemtrails, there's no such thing as organic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, correct. You can't be living in a completely isolated spot in a cell in a greenhouse. I mean, it can't be that farmers can, you know, I'm an organic, you know, produce grower. It can't be. It's impossible. And you don't know about chemtrails?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What kind of a farmer are you?
Exactly.
I wonder, Alex, if you could say something, like you live north of Toronto there. I wondered, how many times a week do you think that they give sprayings to Toronto?
You have to understand, every time there's a blue opening anywhere, they target the blue. They're consistently always trying to cover up any opening that there is, but the spraying program is going on consistently. The one good thing that I'm very happy to say is that there's a lot of awareness in Toronto. There are many other people who have these chem busters or organ, you know, cloud busters, and I've been in contact with them, and generally speaking, when you start to use these devices and actually get some control over your environment, when you're supposed to get a nice blue sky day, you get the nice blue sky day. They'll send out, how many times have we had wall-to-wall blue and at least 50 sprayers trying to spray, but they're just little contrails everywhere trying to, you know, they're not contrails or chemtrails, but the earth is breaking it down so fast, it's so blue, it's so vibrant, it's so energetic that it's simply it just doesn't stick. And this is what I think is a victory for the GTA, because when I look from my location to the far west, I can see large banks of chem cloud that they spray to the west where people aren't aware, where people don't know that they can alter their environment. And they can spray it up there, and then they hope with the wind currents that it'll come over us, with many times just them breaking down eventually, but, you know, they do spray it up huge. I mean, they mix it with the cloud. Every time precipitation comes, they spray into the precipitation. That's their goal. They spray into the weather fronts.
So you have video demonstrations of what you're talking about, where you guys, you've actually made chemtrails disappear?
Oh, yes. I do it every day. We do. I mean, it's a common occurrence here. You have to stop feeling sorry for yourself and take control of what was given to you. This earth is ours for us to the meek shall inherit the earth, and you know that's what it's all about. And if you can understand that, these corporations, it's not for them, it's for us. If we just take it back, I believe that if everyone became aware of the spraying program, no chemtrails could exist anywhere.
This is the thing.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to, but we really have to seriously go back in time to figure out why corporations were illegal. They became legal like in 1890 with the, I know in America, that's what happened. You actually had a 20-year charter to be a really big corporation. And then after that, you had to get your charter renewed. And they didn't like monopolies because soon enough, a company could become so big that it could control entire, you know, countries because of the capital that it moves, right? So
yeah, look at Walmart.
That's our, you know, this is happening because some main force has an entity to control so many components. I mean, think about it. The media has to lie about it. There actually has to be military. There has to be chemical companies that sell this stuff. There has to be airlines that know that this is going on. All these people are complicit if they have knowledge of this.
Yeah, one way or another. And, you know, I find it really interesting. People say, oh, well, your cell phone's being monitored, your email's being monitored, you know, this is being monitored, that's being monitored. And I'm going, wait a minute. If all these things are being monitored, and presumably things are being flagged by computer, by artificial intelligence, but presumably at some point they cross one human's desk.
Yeah.
How can you be that human being and not be affected by what's being passed around? What kind of a nut bar do you have to be?
How about a Satanist or Luciferian, Talmudic Judaism? Or...
Well, I don't know what it is, but I hesitate to put a label on it other than pure stupid evil.
I mean, what strikes me about the corporations, there's no problem, in my view, with corporations. It's just when you have psychopathic elites at the head of the corporation, because otherwise the corporate law could function quite well. And
I would point out what the NRA says. The NRA says guns don't kill people. People kill people.
Yeah, exactly.
People, they'll figure out a way to do it. If they can't have a gun, they'll get a ball bat.
And we've got these psychopaths at the head of these multinational corporations.
And no one really knows
how to deal with it.
And then we have the government.
Just a mechanism where they have a really big reach, so you just don't let companies grow that big and have subsidiaries. That's what happens.
Well, yeah, because you see...
Right? I mean, you can always have psychopaths. You're always going to have people who strive to... lead a large portion of humanity or affected or...
The thing is that once the truth becomes evident, it holds sway over everything. So the whole deal is dependent on people not knowing. I mean, even Sun Tzu, again, I mention Sun Tzu all the time. The Art of War talks about controlling information in order to control conquered people and making a PR effort to mislead and misdirect and misinform people so that they don't know what to fight or what to fight with.
Yeah, which is what the media does, totally.
This is exactly what the media does. And, of course, as we know, the media is controlled by a very small number of hands.
Yeah.
And we don't know where those hands extend because... You hear that, okay, Bell Canada owns this, that, the other thing, Rogers owns this, that, the other thing. But who owns them?
Yes,
who directs them? There's always somebody higher up. Where does the money trail end is what we have to chase, and we have to point fingers, and we have to name names, and we have to shame these bastards.
Well, I think all of the weathermen need to be targeted.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, you know, I have an old friend from Winnipeg days, back from, oh my God, I don't even want to think about how old we both are, but he's a weatherman at a TV station out of Hamilton. And one of these days when I'm around, I'm going to have to go and visit Mr. Brian Wood, who does weather out of at CHCH, and see if I can twist his arm a little bit, because he can't fool me, you know?
Well, it'd be interesting also to write a letter to the Canadian military and the airborne services, like, why are you allowing this to be done, and confronting them?
Yeah, why are
Well, I actually have a forum, meetup.com/chemtrails-Vancouver. There is a forum, a discussion board, and I've made some threads where you can post your letter if there's listeners out there who have actually have copies of the letters they sent to people in key capacities and officials. We'd like to hear about it because we'd like a public record of how much and how many times they have ignored the people's call. It would be nice to collate it.
Yeah.
So if people are listening, go to that spot and post your story. Post the letter, the copy of a letter that you have sent to a public official.
Yeah,
and
well,
we're now getting
down to about 10 minutes before the close of the show, so it would be a good idea, I think, for you guys to repeat the information about where these events are going on again tomorrow, in what towns you know about, and where online they can go for further information or to interact with these groups if there is no such group operating in their town. How can people get involved? How can they duplicate what you're doing? How can they help? So, Afsani and Tony, maybe you could tell us again where the events are in Toronto or in Vancouver tomorrow. I know there's a couple of them. I know there's one in Burnaby.
It's actually in Vancouver. To get the complete details of everything that we talked related to this, go to CanadaSkyWatch.com. And tomorrow's we've got two films and four speakers, and it's going to be at the Collingwood Movie Theater, 3215 Kingsway in Vancouver. That's tomorrow, Sunday.
That's
from
that's
noon
a half
to
a
9
block west
p.m.
of Joy Street.
$10 suggested
donations,
but nobody's going to be turned away. So
excellent.
We've got, and it's at CanadaSkyWatch.com where you can get further details about the, who's speaking and the times and so on and so forth.
I'd also really like to see that more people using the SkyWatch name, as in Toronto SkyWatch or Hamilton SkyWatch or Vancouver or Montreal SkyWatch. I think that would be a real easy way for people to connect together.
Yeah, it might be interesting to have that all linked up, like on the one Canada SkyWatch, and then where's your city, and then you look up, you click on your city, and you get the local events all connected through the one website. That would be good.
Yeah.
You know what, Christopher, you asked me about that, to put that up. For the contest that we have coming up, are we still in for the contest? Are you still in with for the contest, Doug?
Yes, we can, yes.
Okay, great. So we're having a contest. It's Canada-wide, whoever wants to submit a movie from anywhere from 5 minutes to 9 minutes about chemtrails or their specific cities, and you can get up to $1,000 in prize money.
And by the way, Christopher, I've had your contest advertised in the Agora when were you here?
Back in June.
That for that long, every month.
Oh,
wow.
I had it there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have we got any
submissions?
It just says,
Yeah, so that's going to start March 15th. Oh, yeah, that's the other thing.
And for those who don't know, the Agora is a local newspaper that we're trying to take much larger, and it's the only newspaper I know of that a major topic is chemtrails, along with GMO food and vaccines and so on.
Yeah.
Yes, and I think that if you're looking to promote, you might want to contact Common Ground magazine, which is another magazine.
We love them too.
Agora, I'm familiar with.
I used to write a column for Agora.
Oh, wow.
For the Agora?
Yep.
Oh,
years ago.
Well, I must have read it because I've read every column and every issue.
Well, there you go. There you go.
Yeah.
But, you know, I talked a lot about health freedom and sovereignty and things like that. And I was involved in the Doctor Is In column with Dr. Dahl. So,
okay.
I'm familiar with the Agora, and it's a great paper. It is. And it is available online. This is the other beauty of it. It's available online, as is Common Ground, commonground.ca.
And we'd love to be able to distribute the Agora in other cities, too, as a hard copy, if anybody would like to help out on that. I know you all have a lot to do.
Okay, so we need to move along a little bit here, why don't we just pass over to Alex. And, Alex, maybe you can just share some of your information.
It's the Bloom Library.
Yes, the Barbara Frum Public Library, and it's on 20 Covington Road in Toronto. It's in the Lawrence and Bathurst area, and we're going to be presenting two films, Why in the World Are They Spraying and Bye Bye Blue Skies. And then that's from 1:30 to 4:30, but there's going to be a group hopefully meeting up after for coffee and maybe a bite to eat after to keep the discussion going.
Excellent.
Yeah, good. Excellent.
Great.
And did you have a website or anything you'd like to give out?
Yes, there's actually the website we have that we use is freedomdefender.net. Mm-hmm. And for anyone who's interested in any sustainable living like solar or wind or biomass energies, I have a website there as well called BTEC Energy. That's B like Bob, T-E-K, B, Bob Thomas Edward Kelly, energy, one word, .com. And
is that listed off of your other previous one? So I'd go to that first link, and then I'd have a link to the next one that you just said?
Sure. Good idea.
Okay. From freedomdefender.net, I can get to the second address you provided.
No problem.
Excellent.
Yeah, great. Well, we're going to need to say goodbye to everybody here. Thanks, Alex. Thanks for joining us. And Asane and Tony, thank you all for joining us today and making this a really excellent program on chemtrails.
Yes, and we will have, as we said, the archives available, and you guys can share, download and share the link, and make sure everybody has access to this information. And from all of us here, we wish you every success with your events tomorrow, and we hope that they go viral. Let's just hope they go viral.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
So I just have to direct people to Christopher Holmes' page on BBS Radio, right? And there, a person can like click a button and hear today's show.
Yes.
Yeah.
In archive.
Yeah,
that's right.
We'll get you the actual link.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Great.
Thank you.
Okay.
Great,
thank
great.
You all.
So we'll hope to do this again. So I'll have a little catalog of talks. So I can also list the previous ones too, right?
Yes, you could.
Yeah.
Talks that we've had. This is fantastic.
I'll figure out the dates for you if you don't have those. Yeah. Yeah, that's really excellent. Yeah, I'm pleased with that. So we're going to need to wind down here, Dee. That was an excellent show today.
We were just getting wound up.
No, I find it a long 2 hours for me.
Yeah, it is long, but still, it's like we could go on for days.
Yeah, and we get no interruptions with commercials. Like, we have the full time of 2 hours, so it's really excellent time. And
yeah.
I'd like to thank BBS Radio and Don and Doug and everybody there for this attention.
Yes, and thank you to everybody who's listening, and please spread the word. Now we've got our archives out there. Please spread the word. Everybody needs to know the information, otherwise we can't act on it. So, these days, like I said, over the last few weeks, if you are not an activist these days, you are a victim.
Yeah, wake up. Okay, thanks, Dee.
Thank you.
BBS.
Thank
Goodbye.
You.